This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Bless his name. The songwriter said, with Jesus on our side, things will work out right.
Yeah, they will.
Because we're going to make it.
Yeah.
How many of us truly believe that with Jesus on our side, that we're going to make it? See, the thing is that a lot of times, we come into the corporate setting and we do what everybody else do in the corporate setting. But when we leave the corporate setting, we leave it right there where it was. The thing about God is that you've got to praise him all the time.
Yeah.
And when we start praising him all the time, we know that Jesus is always by our side and that we're going to make it. And we are definitely going to make it. Amen. Give honor to our pastor, Reverend Thurman Tillman, who is finally vacationing. So bless him. And Sister Tillman, bless both of y'all. Y'all enjoy your time. I know he's probably watching too. So we want to shout him out. And then, of course, the family of First African Baptist Church. Thank y'all. Y'all are truly a blessing in more ways than I can even count. So y'all continue to be a blessing. And most importantly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The whole reason why I made it. Because Lord knows... We ain't gonna revisit that though. All right. So today, our scripture text is for context. I'm gonna read Ephesians 4, 1 through 14. But for the message, we'll stay in verses 13 and 14. And it reads, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Read that one more time. It says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of our Son, knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of stature and fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your peace. We thank you, Father God, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Father God, that as we have gathered within this place and assembled in your name, dear God, that you will continue to get all the glory, honor, and praise. We pray, Father God, if there be any distractions, dear God, that you will cast them aside, whether it be mentally, physically, or emotionally, and that you, Father God, you would put us on the wheel this morning, and that, and that you'd be the potter and we be the clay. Mold us, shape us, prepare us, for equip us, dear God, for the work in which you've called us to do. Have your way. Think through me, Father God. Speak through me, dear God. But allow your children to receive exactly what it is that you desire to give. So bless, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. These past couple weeks, we've been working on the spiritual gifts. We have a survey on www.firstafricanbc.com in which we want everyone, especially the members of First African, to go on and do their spiritual gift survey so that they can find where they best operate. And the reason why we've been doing this is because before Pastor left on vacation, he wanted everyone to get their spiritual gift inventory done, so that we can start to really operate and move into our giftings, so we can help people once they find out their giftings to put them where they are best suited to work in the church. And the craziest part about it is this past Monday, the Lord had spoken to me about a healthy church. So this message is titled A Healthy Church, but he was speaking to me about a healthy church. And he was letting me know that in a healthy church, all the pieces have a part, play a part. And when all of the pieces are put together, the church operates as a unit. And so as I started to get ready for the actual message, I went and I looked up healthy and I looked up unhealthy. And based off the World Organization of Health, it says healthy is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being. And this includes the use of personal and social resources to ensure an individual can function throughout their everyday lives. Now, that spoke volumes to me because I may not look like it, but I like fitness. I work out a little bit and stuff like that. But the thing is that at some points in life, I'll work out. My body will look good. It'll feel good. But then my mind is ragged. So my social awareness is off. But the thing about this is that it says a complete physical, mental, and social well-being. So when we understand complete mental, physical, and social, that means every aspect of the body, mind, body, and soul. So when I was reading this text, the text that I just read to you guys, and I was going through it and how the Apostle Paul, who was actually a prisoner at this time, and how he's writing so eloquently to the body of believers. So as he's writing to the body of believers, in verses 1 through 14, he's explaining to us what a healthy church actually means. And the reason why he's explaining this to us, because once we get down to verse 13, which is where I want to focus today, is because it says, until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, the measure and the stature of fullness of Christ. Now, when we get to that part, and he's talking about the healthy church, he's letting us know that we have to operate in the giftings of the Spirit. We have to be able to evangelize. We have to transform communities. And we have to come in to learn and exit to serve. So this is why I asked the question in the beginning. With Jesus on our side, do we believe that everything will work out right? Now, because the thing is that when we come into the corporate atmosphere, the thing is, we have an opportunity to worship God corporately, and we worship him for ourselves all at the same time. The corporate worship helps every single person within this place to move beyond what they're actually dealing with. But the worship of God within itself helps me to align myself with what God has called for me to do. So, in verse 13, the Greek, and in the Greek, and when it says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, see, the Greek says, until we shall be forever attaining the oneness of faith. So, we have to understand that this is not something that we do and then it's done. This is something that we will forever have to do for the rest of our lives. Because when we continue, because the process is number one, we're a sinner. Then we're saved by grace. Once we're saved by grace, then that's when the real work begins. Huh? Y'all don't hear me then. All right, wake up, Isaiah. Come with me now. All right. When I say that when the real work begins, it's not the work that we do. It's the work that Christ does within us. Because 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us that we become a new creation. All the old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So now we can go about and we can try to do the work. But the work will lead to frustration. Because that's the difference between the law and grace. So many people think that, okay, if I go to church, if I wear a suit, if I speak this way, then nothing's going to come my way. Absolutely not. You become a target. And when you become that target, what actually happens now is that you get frustrated because you're not equipped. And this is why, when we understand being equipped, we understand that we're constantly building up the community of believers in faith that is Jesus Christ. Leadership or the leaders of the church, teachings like Bible study, Sunday school, worship, and what we do on Thursday night, FAB Live, and other teachings and teachings times. So what we have to understand is that all of this is for a purpose. None of this, the corporate worship, the alone time with God, all of it is for a purpose. And that purpose is to build us up for the work. Because we hit pitfalls often. And when we hit those pitfalls, the question is, are we going to stay or are we going to get up and keep moving? Because y'all just sang the song, with Jesus on my side, everything will work out right. So we're going to make it. So if we understand that we can and we will make it, then that's how we walk into not only our day, but into this Christian walk. And so when we were going through 1 Corinthians 12 this week, of course, we went through the giftings. And some people don't even know what all the giftings are. So I'm going to run that down for you. There are 9 giftings of the Holy Spirit. And the thing about giftings, it means that it's given to you. You don't have to work to obtain it. That's a gift. So you're not having to work to fall within one of these 9 categories or one of these 9 giftings, because everyone, once they're saved, has at least one of them. And then you, as you move, then you start to find out more about your giftings. Now, the giftings are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, and the distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. Now, all of these are gifts. And if you believe what the Bible says about Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because with the heart, one believes is justified and the mouth confess that is saved. If you believe that, you have at least one of these gifts. And now in the healthy church, the leaders help you to not cultivate your gifts, but to move into your gifts. And so that's what we're doing here. We're moving individuals into their giftings. Once they move into their giftings, then that's going to make this whole process go a lot better. Because now individuals are not struggling with who they are, because they know whose they are, and therefore they can operate as the one who actually sent them. And so the understanding goes that once we move into those giftings, we understand that the knowledge of the Son of God becomes more important than anything you'll ever have. Because the thing about the knowledge of the Son of God is that the Bible gives us a depiction of some of the stuff that Jesus did. But the giftings of the Holy Spirit allows us to tap into everything that Jesus did. And so that's where we have to understand that we're being equipped. We're equipping the believer to operate fully in the understanding of Christ, the understanding that Jesus is Lord, and the change in which he gave us to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to all understanding. So as we continue to move into our giftings, we understand that maturity is the most important thing. Not just maturity in my everyday life, not maturity in age, but maturity in my walk in Christ. So as a mature Christian, I understand that there is work to do. But I also understand that if it's not my lane, then I allow the people that are supposed to do the work to do the work. And I think, because I know bees do cross-pollination, but I think a great many times in the church, we try to cross-pollinate. And what we end up doing is stagnating other individuals. Because they're moving in their gifting, but we're telling them that that's not their lane. So if we're telling them that that's not their lane, then what happens? Then they move themselves out of the way. And then now I'm trying to operate in that space, and I can't operate in that space because that's not what God called me to do. And so that's where we have to be as a church. We have to have the understanding that God has gifted each and every one of us to do certain things within the body of Christ. So if he's equipped us to do what he's called us to do, then it'll go a lot easier when we're doing it. But if we're moving outside of what God has actually called us to do, then now we not only create more stress for ourselves, but we create stress for those that are actually working within their gifts. And so we need to really grab hold of what this healthy church is. And again, it's operating within the spirits, it's evangelizing, it's transforming communities, and then it's coming in to learn and going out to serve. Because a lot of times, the only thing that we do is come to church on Sunday. We come to church on Sunday, we amen, we hallelujah, we thank you, Jesus, and we sing, and then we go home. And we're done until next Sunday. But the thing is that these walls keep us from the fullness of what God has called us to do. When we were called, just like Paul says in his text, too, he says that we were called. And when you are called, your job is to call others, right? Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just saying, is that not your job to call others? Yeah, that's your job. That is the whole purpose of you becoming a Christian. That is the whole purpose of you following Christ, is to evangelize, to help other people to understand that, hey, look, my life is completely different than it was back then. Do you want to have what I have? Because the thing about it is, no matter what you see on the outside, I know that on the inside, that even when I die, I know I got a house not built with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so this is what we have to understand, is that it is not your purpose to just come and dwell within the walls of the church. It is your purpose to use what God has gifted you into go out and draw others in. Now, an unhealthy church. Words came up like sickly, diseased, a person suffering from illness, bad, injurious, corrupt, and unwholesome. An unhealthy church has an unhealthy prayer culture. Attendance is not consistent. People are not being saved. Tithes decreasing. And the age of the congregation. And the craziest part about it is that that's what a health, that everything is contrary to everything that I told you about a healthy church. Because a healthy church is going to draw, constantly draw people in. There shouldn't even be room if you are a healthy church. And that's why we've got to understand that when God gave us these giftings, that we have to put them in action. So if we're putting these giftings in action, then guess what? We don't have to worry about unhealthy prayer culture. We don't have to worry about attendance not consistent. We don't have to worry about people not being saved. We don't have to worry about tithes decreasing. And we don't have to worry about the age of the congregation, because we're consistently growing in every part. So that's what we have to understand, is that we don't come and just pew sit. Pew sitting should be a thing of the past, especially after everything that we went through during COVID. So now people are still sitting at home, and a lot of people are watching this broadcast right now. And as they're watching this broadcast, I'm praying that they would understand that we need you here. The church needs you here, because there is an assignment that is placed on your life by God. And you come in and you receive what God has said, and then you go out to serve. And when you go out to serve, the whole point of your service is to draw others to Him, to become the beacon of light. And it's crazy, because God showed me, I was at my grandparents' house in Florida, and God showed me. I was sitting outside, and mosquitoes are terrible out there. But they had this little blue light that sat there. And that blue light, every now and then you'll hear bzzz, 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 bzzz. And I was like, what is going on? So as I'm looking at the light and I'm seeing these bugs literally get lost in the light. And they were lost in the light. And all they knew was that their compass was pointing towards the light. We got the light of the world. The light of the world lives in each of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So are we going to be that light that draws, or are we going to be that light that says, bzz, bzz? Because the thing, the message that I got about that was that those bugs was willing to give their life just to be a part of the light. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be a part of the light. And as a part of the light, we have to understand that we draw and we continuously get drawn. It's a constant. This relationship with Jesus Christ is not something that just starts and ends, but it's a constant thing. It's constantly growing, constantly growing, constantly growing. And as that light within him, as you get closer to that light, as you grow in him, what it essentially does is the light in you starts to shine brighter. Just as verse 14 says, we're not pulled. What verse is that? I'm sorry. Verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. That is the whole purpose of the light that is in you. The whole purpose of that light is that, so first of all, you're not pulled, you're not pushed, you're not tossed around. That light is for you to understand that the closer I draw, the less likely I am to get fooled, the less likely I am to get hoodwinked or tricked or bamboozled, whatever you want to call it. But the closer I draw to that light, because I won't be in those situations, because he's going to erase so many things out of my life. And it's crazy, because I was talking to a friend the other day and he was asking me questions, and I was like, man, I ain't even thought about that in forever. But that's how he does it. He does it. He takes it away from you in a manner that you don't even know, that you don't even feel it when it's gone. And that's what we've got to get to. We've got to operate within the giftings in which God has called us. We've got to be the healthy church, constantly growing. We've got to be the ones to operate in our gifts, to evangelize, and to transform our communities. Because when we come in to learn and we go out to serve, we understand. No, this is not a feel-good message. And I'm not up here, I'm not talking to you individually. I'm talking to the body of Christ in general. Because the body of Christ has to understand that we're living in the last days. Look at what they're doing with this AI technology. And if you don't believe that, because eventually they're going to be starting to tell you got to take a chip in order to access your own money. So we've got to get to a place that we have so many of us, and that we're such a bright light that everybody wants to be a part of us. And the only way to do that is to operate fully in what God has called us to do. Because we're equipped. You may not feel as though you're equipped, because you may feel you struggle at evangelism. You may feel you struggle at other areas. But one thing that I've learned in this walk, that if I open my mouth, then God will speak in whatever situation it is. So we have to come to a understanding that we're not only wanting to be or desiring to be a healthy church, but we have to be such a healthy church that it draws other sick people to us. Because when sick people come in, they leave out healthy. And that's where we have to get to. We've got to have more and more. And I'm talking directly to these people online. I don't care where you're joining us from online. But please, go find you a church home that teaches the word of God, that is biblically sound in the word of God. Because right now, we're at a point in our lives that if we're not listening to sound teaching, if we don't have a full understanding of the word of God, then we're being tossed in every way. I've run into more and more people over the weeks that have been challenging what I believe. Oh, but you say you believe this, then why do y'all do that? Well, it ain't y'all. Don't just lump us all into one category, because whether y'all know it or not, that's exactly what's going on in the world right now. Because if Derek go out there and act a fool, oh, them Christians over there, they're going to blame all of us. And so we've got to understand that when you're that beacon of light, whether you want to be it or not, because you said that you believe. And when you said you believe, God did what? Turn that light on. And when he turned that light on, now the whole world is watching. And they're not watching to see what you do good. They're watching to pick out all of the bad things. But we're not going to afford them the opportunity to pick out the bad things. Because we understand who we are. And we understand whose we are. We've been gifted something greater than any gift, any diamond, any platinum, any gold in this world. We've got the thing that lives in us, the Holy Spirit, which lives in each and every one of us, is more valuable than any of that. So don't diminish your value by trying to follow the world in their ways. But we can no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness or by craftiness and deceitful schemes. When you're saying amen, go in there and check what that preacher talking about. Because when you say Jesus is Lord, that means he's the Lord of everything in your life. Everything. And because you said he's Lord, then that means that you're willing to follow him, even until death. So this is at this time, and I feel a stirring of the Spirit that some people may be conflicted by this message. But please, I'm here to tell you that if you believe, if you have believed and you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, this is your time. But if you have not, this is also your time. More than ever before. Because if you're on social media, I don't care what your algorithm does, as you scroll down, somebody's got something to say about religion. Whether it's for or against, but someone has something to say about religion. It's the greatest topic of conversation and debate today. And there's a reason for that. And that's because Jesus is moving back to the forefront. Well, he was always in the forefront, but you know they did everything in their power to keep us from calling on his name. So this is your time. This is your opportunity. That if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as I stated earlier, for those who online and those that are here, as Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at this time, if you would repeat after me. Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all that I should be. I am sorry for my sins, and I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In Jesus' name. If there are those here that said that prayer and they don't have a church home, I want you to come on down and give us your hand and give God your heart. And for those that have, but they're looking for a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, we offer you the opportunity to also come down. Because one thing for certain and two things for sure, we are going to teach the word of God. We are going to train up disciples, and we are going to send individuals out to do the work that God has called them to do. So if you would. And I pray that something I said or something that God had given me to say would be something that propels you not only into the week, but continue to propel you into your walk, and that you will not only trust him, but you be that beacon of light that he desires for us to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, for your love, and most importantly, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that each and everything, Father God, every good thing that you have for us, that it will present itself, not only in this week, but every day of our lives. We pray, Father God, that even as we prepare to walk out of this place, we ask, Lord, that you will not only give us the boldness to preach your word, to teach your word, but that you will give us the boldness to speak to those, dear God, that we know that have not come into a relationship with you. So, Lord, we ask that you will not only bless and strengthen each and every individual under the sound of my voice as they walk into their week, but that you, Father God, will direct them. You will order their steps. And that they be willing vessels, Father God, that when you say go left, they go left. And when you say go right, they go right. So speak clearly, dear Lord, and allow each and every one of us to be used the way that you desire. And we thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will rush, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Go in peace.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you, and thank you for worshiping with us.